your Bibles and are through with abusing me, turn to Revelation. Easiest way to find it is go to the very end of your Bible. Go to the maps and turn to the left. All right? Turn to the left. We read Revelation chapter 1. We read this promise from God that if you read it, hear it, and take it to heart, you'd be blessed. Or for those of you who go to big church, you shall be blessed. Okay? Blessed. Now, notice I stood up and made my voice deeper, how that worked. All right, now, we've been trying to read through this book to find the blessing. Now, he told us early on that this is going to be a different kind of book. It's going to be a book of signs. When you see one of these pictures, when you see one of these signs, what do you ask? What does it mean? The only person that can tell you what those signs or those pictures means is God. And if He doesn't tell you, you can't. Well, you can listen to somebody else tell you, but that's not necessarily going to be true. And what I've done in my lifetime and what I've seen other folks do is we spend a lot of time worrying about the pictures and the details of the picture and miss the blessing. I've thought about this for you guys, for us, for a long time. If there's any group of people I've ever known, if any group of people I've ever loved, any group of people I've ever taught that need the blessing of this book, I think it's us. Because man, everybody, and it's true of everybody, everybody has good days and bad days. But honest, there are people that their worst days would be, for some of us, pretty good days. And there's some of us that have been through some things. Some of us have been through some things that have really been bad, have really had tough, tough things. And it's not just a day. Sometimes it's a week, month. Some of us have lived our lives that way. There's a promise here that you don't have to ride that roller coaster. Now, the world's going to stay the same. Life is going to continue going up and down. But you can have a blessing from God and hang on to something. A blessing is like that thing you hang on so that you don't run up and down with life, that you get to stay the same. You find that joy, contentment, peace, whatever way you want to call it. But it's a place for you to hang on when everything else is going haywire. It's a safe place for you to stand when the floor is falling out from under you. He promises that. So we've been trying to find it. In chapter 1, what did you find? What's the blessing you found in chapter 1? And we're going to keep going through this till we hang on to him. Chapter 1? I'm sorry. Jesus is with us. He wants to be with us. He stands with us He stands in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, which is His church. That's us. He wants to stand with us. Now, chapter 2 and 3. Chapters 2 and 3. What's the blessing? Okay, now that's the end of it. Tell me the first of it. Jesus knows us. Now, what does He know about us? He knows the best thing about us, which that's nice. I'm glad of that. It's a kind of short list in my case. But He also knows the worst about us, and mine's a little bit longer there. But even though He knows us and knows everything there is to know about us, what is He doing? He's standing at the door knocking. He wants to come in. He wants to come in. He doesn't want to just come in for a visit. He's not coming in for a snack. He wants to move in, unpack, put His stuff in the dresser drawers and hang a picture on the wall. He wants to move in with you. Chapters 4 and 5, what's the blessing? We belong to Him. Now, I'm sorry, this one overrides all the others, and I keep saying it in chapters 4 and 5 because it's where I thought of it, where the thought came to me about it. And I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. That is reassuring, ought to be reassuring to us, ought to be a blessing to us, because in chapter 5 He says He purchased us. And it doesn't matter what color your skin is, it doesn't matter what language you speak, it doesn't matter what land you live in or lived in. Your birth certificate does not matter to God. He purchased you with the blood of Jesus and you belong to Him. So no matter what else happens in this world, that much is settled. Okay? Chapter 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. What's the blessing? Break the first seal. Break the first seal on the scroll. And all it's going to do is just flip just a little bit. It's just going to flip up a little bit and it'll just barely give you a peek at what's coming. And the first thing that's coming, and remember this book teaches, it's going to come to pass soon for these folks. So we're not talking about sometime in the far, far future. We're talking about right now. Give it right for them. Peek into what's coming. What's the first seal? What's the first sign? What's the first picture? He comes riding out on a white horse and he's coming to conquer and to conquer. I'm telling you, Jesus is going to win this thing. And there's the blessing, folks, regardless of what else happens. Bad stuff going to happen? Bad stuff going to happen? Yes. But in the end, we are not going to be harmed. Now, are things, times going to be tough sometimes? Yeah. And we fuss about $4 gasoline. And for me to say, we should not fuss about $4 gasoline. Oh, I forgot to stand up. We shall not fusseth about $4 gasoline. It's not going to do any good. We're going to fuss about gas. $4 gas is something to fuss about. But is that really as bad as what things could be? If I'm paying for $4 gas, it means I've got a car that's running. It means I'm not walking everywhere. And if I'm walking, even if I'm walking everywhere, it means I'm, at least I'm able to walk. And if I'm, even if I'm not able to walk, and I'm in one of those power chairs, or if I'm in a wheelchair like our Marcy is, at least I'm alive. How many times did you hear Marcy say it? When I say, ask something about it, what are we thankful for? And she'll make sure everybody hears it. What'd she say? We're alive! There you go. It's going to be tough sometimes, y'all, but we're not going to be harmed. All right, do you remember the picture? What's the number that gives you that picture? That gives you the understanding that even when times are tough, God's going to take care of you. What's the number? Say it. 3.5 years. 42 months. 1,260 days. Time, times, and half a time. Things are going to be okay, y'all. Things are going to be okay. All right, chapter 12. What's the blessing? Chapter 12, what's the blessing? I'm sorry? We will overcome. I mean, that beautiful woman about to have that baby. There's that great red dragon sweeping the stars out of the sky. The old man with the baby's born, the dragon loses. He's caught up into heaven to rule the nations with a rod of iron. The old dragon missed his lunch there, so he goes up to heaven to get a snack. And the angels catch him and cast him down. When they cast him down, he's been defeated twice. And then he's going to be kept. And those who on the saints will overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, by the power of the gospel and the blood of Jesus, we overcame him. And so he turns to fight that beautiful woman, and God gives her wings, and she soars off to a place where she's protected for 3.5 years, 42 months, 1,260 days. God's going to take care of us. That's us. That's the church. That's His people. We will overcome. All right, 13, 14. 13 and 14, what's the blessing? With apologies... With apologies to those of you who are school teachers and to those of you who have any learning at all. I'm going to say it the way I want to say it. The beast ain't God. And it don't matter how hard he tries, he ain't God and he ain't never going to be God. Well, who is this beast? I don't know who this beast is. And I'm telling you, there are people. I'm serious. You get into this stuff and you read books about it, you start reading books about it, do not call me. Do not call me and ask me to explain what some guy said in his book. But you read books and it'll be some old boy, and I'm not saying this, I'm not communicating this, and would somebody step outside to see if we need crowd control with kids? I just saw a kid run, and I just want to make sure that we don't have children running loose in the world for our neighbor's sake. Not for the kids. Our kids are fine. Let me say this, and if this, I'm not saying this is not intended. There's no conviction here. There's no intention here to say it to hurt anybody's feelings. But there'll be people that'll write that that's the Pope. Back in the old, a long time ago, much earlier than I can remember, probably about the time John was in his 30s or 40s, during World War II. That's a good one, y'all. Y'all even missed it. But when John was in his 40s in World War II, there were people who said it was Hitler. Some said it was Mussolini. Folks, even if you never know who he is, what do you know? He ain't God. So whether the beast comes up out of the sea, and what do we call him? Badzilla, because there ain't nothing good about him. Badzilla, and if he comes up out of the land, what do we call him? We call him Ding Dong. Don't you remember that? All right. But at least you remember the blessing. The beast ain't God. All right, look at chapter 15, y'all. Chapter 15. Oh, I'm sorry. Last part of 14. I need you to see the last part of 14, because the last part of 14, he's going to give you four headlines. He's going to give you four neon-lighted flashing signs that tell you, here's what's coming. This is the rest of this book is found in these four statements. Verse 7. Well, let me read it. Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and tongue. I love that he called it the eternal gospel. I mean, just there's not going to be ever going to be any end to that. Chapter 14, verse 6. All right? He's going to preach it to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, fear God and give Him glory. Now underline that phrase. Because the hour of His judgment has come. Worship Him who made the heavens, the earth, the seas, and the springs of the water. Headline one. The day of judgment is coming. So what should you do?
Fear God
and give Him glory. In our lives, we get so tangled, we don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do about this issue. I don't know what to do. I understand. I get the feeling that way myself. God simplifies it for us. The day of judgment is coming. So what do we do? The day of judgment is coming. What do we do?
Fear God
and give Him glory. Now, we have laughed about it. But there have been times we've discussed it seriously. So I'm not rebuking us for laughing. I'm not rebuking us at all in this. The folks that have decided, for whatever reasons, that they were able to figure out that Jesus is going to return on May 21st. And y'all have had some great one-liners about that. But the point I want to make is, what would happen if you lived your life like that day was for real? And we don't know. It might be today. And for me to say, man, we ought to really think that May 21st could be the day. Maybe they're going to guess it right. And they would have had to have guessed it. But they had to guess it. Let's say they guessed it right. Now for me to say that would make me nervous, because he could come from now until then with no warning, right? There'd be no billboards. But take just the illustration, okay? What if you lived your life thinking, boy, May 21st is the day? What would change? Now, Paul's going to tell us You keep going to work. He'll tell the folks in Thessalonians, he told them five times and in his little letter to them, five times in one little letter, he says, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And he said, but you still got to go to work. And you, don't you be a busybody. You still live your life right. You still take care of your family. I mean, he says the Lord's coming. You live your life that way. What would change, though, in some of our habits? What would change in the way we think? What would change in the way we do things if we really believed May 21st was the day? Let's live that way. Let's live that way. Let's live that way for the next few days. Let's live like May 21st is it. Okay? Now, here's one of the dangers of setting a date. When May 22nd comes around, God willing, if May 22nd comes around, what happens to all those people that thought it was May 21st? Well, he didn't show, so guess what? Now, it doesn't matter how I live. I want us to be careful of that. Every day is his day. So what should we do? Fear God and give him glory. All right, look at verse 8. The second angel followed and said, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great." Folks, we're going to find out Babylon here in a second, but right now I don't want you to worry about who Babylon is. What do you just know is going to happen to Babylon? Babylon is going to fall. Underline it. The day of the Lord is coming. When the day of the Lord comes, what happens to all of the Lord's enemies? They're going to fall. Now in this case, he's pointing out Babylon. Bible students only. No guessing on this. Bible students only. What's the significance of this enemy being called Babylon? Though the Babylon, the Babylonians, kept God's people captive. They came and took them and hauled them up off to
Babylon.
Which is
one of the Babylonians.
It is where the Babylonians were, which now is called Iraq. They hauled them off up there and kept them, made them serve them in ways that, and did unspeakable things with them in battle and in slavery. We know some of those boys. One of the boys was given a Babylonian name named Belteshazzar. His name was Daniel. Three of the other boys were given Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No. That was my dad said that. Abednego. Now, do you know what their Jewish names? You know the names their mama gave them? Ananias, Azariah, Mishael. Now, the point is, Babylon represents to God people a place of captivity, a place of horrible judgment, horrible suffering and stuff. So what do I know is going to happen on the day the Lord comes? On the day of let me back up. I said a phrase. I knew what I meant. But if you haven't studied with me long or haven't studied this for a while, you hear me say when the day the Lord comes, you think last day, end of time, trumpet blows, sky rips, Jesus comes, earth burns, we're in heaven. Many times in Scripture, the Lord comes in judgment. So let me restate it to get us back on track. The first headline was, the day of judgment, God's judgment is coming. Now, that judgment, that day of the Lord that's coming, is going to happen for these folks when? Soon. It's about to take place for them. So what do they know? When the judgment of God comes on in their world, what's going to happen to the enemy? Babylon is going to fall. Does God have the ability to make Babylon fall? Yeah. Read the book of Daniel and watch what God does to those folks that were actually Babylon. And if he could do it back then, he could do it then. Or about when he was about to. All right? Number nine. Verse 9. A third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on the forehead or on the hand, he too will drink the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lord. And the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. There is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast in his image or anyone who receives the mark of his name. Now stop. Stop. Tell me what catches your attention in that statement. God is not going to treat people that worship that beast, Badzilla or Ding Dong or the or Babylon or the dragon. He is not going to treat them kindly, right? There is going to be wrath. Now, for those of you who love Oprah, I got to tell you, Oprah's wrong. There is going to be a day of judgment in their world, and there will be a day of judgment in our world. And it will come with the wrath of God Almighty. Period. But you know what most folks, when they want to talk about this, want to talk about? What's this mark on his forehead or on his hand? I got a real simple solution. Don't worship the beast. You ain't got to worry about it. Well, what is it? I don't know what it is, but you won't get it if you don't worship the beast. Well, what if I worship the beast accidentally? You can't worship the beast accidentally. You can't worship God accidentally. Oh, man, I went to church and I worshiped accidentally. No, you can't. You can't. Quit worrying about the mark on your forehead. Quit worrying about the mark on your hand. If you don't worship the beast, you don't have to worry about it, right? What you worry about is, and worry is not the right word, who do you fear?
God.
Fear God. Give Him glory, number one. Two, what's going to happen to the enemies? So guess who, the ones that follow the enemies, where are they going?
Down,
down, down, down that ring of fire. I mean, it's bad. And I wish that I had a cold. My deep voice would have kicked in. All right, now look at number 13. Oh, verse 12. You got to see this. This calls for patient endurance on part of the saints who obey God's commandments and remain faithful in Jesus. Okay, hang on. For those of you honestly who have worried, and I don't want to make light of it because some of you have. Those of you worried about that mark on your forehead or a mark on your hand. About, I tell you what, honest, I'm serious. Notice I'm not teasing, I'm not trying to get anybody to respond. I'm just saying, you don't have to worry about that if you obey God's commands and are faithful to Jesus. All you got to do is that. You don't have to worry about the beast. You don't have to worry about the dragon. You don't have to worry about the Babylon, folks. You don't have to worry about them. You just keep God's commandments and be faithful to Jesus. You be faithful to Jesus, you won't have to worry about the mark. Okay? Now it's time to say okay. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. I like the thought of that rest from labor, don't you? We won't read it because I've got to get you to see the other things, but the last part of 14 in two pictures sums that up. He sends an angel to harvest the earth. Now, two things happen at a harvest. Two things happen, and it shows, my understanding, it shows a wheat harvest and it shows a grape harvest. Two things happen at any kind of harvest. Happens even in a cotton harvest. What happens when the machete or the sickle goes through the wheat? What happens when the harvester goes through the grapevines and is cutting off the grapes? They take everything, don't they? You watch them harvest cotton and it pulls off stems, leaves, twigs, cotton burrs. All of it comes with the cotton. Then what happens? Then in the judgment, those things are separated. In a wheat harvest, what happens? They winnow the grain and the chaff is blown away, right? Chaff is blown away and the seed is left. Now think about it. Even if you put the seed in the grist mill, what happens to the seed? It's crushed. But in being crushed, what does it do? It turns into flour. It is purified. It becomes better. It becomes more usable, right? Take a grape, do the same thing. When that guy goes through the grape vineyard and he's cutting off grapes, does he just pick the grapes off and put them in a basket? No, man, he's cutting limbs and there's twigs and there's leaves and all that. And then they start throwing them into the wine press. And those ladies from I Love Lucy, for those of you who remember that episode, go to stomping those grapes. And I'm telling you, what happens when the grape is crushed? It is refined. It goes to wine and the leftovers are cast into a fire. That's the picture, he says here. It's coming, y'all. So if that harvest is coming and I want to be purified, I want to be improved, if I want to be made into something better by the hands of God, what do I do?
Fear God
and give Him glory. And when that happens, I know its judgment is coming, so what do I think about His enemies? They're going down. Am I going to worry about them going down? And me going down with them? Nope, because I ain't got no mark on my hand or no mark on my head. Why? Because I fear God. I obey the commands of God and I'm faithful to Jesus. And when He takes care of everything, I will... Now, will I be... Maybe I'm alive when the judgment comes. These people are reading this. They may be alive when this particular judgment comes. We may be alive when the judgment of the Lord comes. If we're still alive on May 21st, and that's when it actually happens, we'll be alive when those horrible things take place in our world. And it might be that there will be things that will cause us inconvenience. They may cause us pain, may cause us suffering. But in the end, where do we end up? We end up refined. We end up purified. We end up in glory. And the rest ends up in shame. Now, chapter 15, he's going to tell us about... there's seven bowls. Now, I've got to give you a little lesson here right quick. Do you remember the first seven we saw? What were the names? Seven... Well, we saw seven churches, but when he first found what was in the hand of the one who sits on the throne, there were seven seals, and that was to reveal what was shortened to come to pass. Well, the seven seals are broken, and they're just an introduction. They're just a peek at what's coming. And what do we know is coming first, real quick? Jesus is going to conquer. But when the last seal is broken, you see six trumpets. Six trumpets. Now, what are trumpets for? Warnings, announcements. Here it is. You know, it's a warning. It's coming, so be ready, right? When the seventh trumpet blows, it reveals seven bowls. That look in chapter 16, verse 1, right quick, just in case you missed it, or I miss it when I get there. These are seven bowls of God's wrath. Now, you've gotten a peek at it a couple of times in the seals. You've got a peek at it a couple of times in the trumpets. Well, when it comes to a seven bowls of wrath, what do you think that's going to mean? God is going to make sure that He dumps out His judgment on those people. Now, did He tell us it was coming? Did He warn us it was coming? Yes. All right. I know what we should have called these in chapter 14 were the billboards. The billboards of Revelation, yeah. There's four billboards on the way to work. I'm going to see them. All right, chapter 15. I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign, seven angels with the seven last plagues. Last because of them, with them God's wrath is completed. And I saw what looked like a glass of sea mixed with fire. And standing inside the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and over the number of his name. They held harps given them by God and sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Stop. Just a little bitty peek at this. When people start singing the song of Moses, when people start singing the song of the Lamb, we read that and we don't... What? Tell me about the song of Moses. It's a picture. They're singing this song of Moses. What is the song of Moses? Do you remember? For 400 years they were slaves in Egypt. For 400 years they suffered all kinds of humiliation. They suffered genocide. Babies were being killed. Male children were being murdered because of an evil, wicked, nasty old Pharaoh. And they were begging God to send them some kind of help, right? You remember? Moses was born and God put him in the safest house in Egypt, and then Moses at 40 years old thought it was time and everybody said no, so he runs off and hides and he thinks he's a failure for 40 years. Finally, God through a burning bush says, get back and do what I birthed you to do. And he goes back, let my people go. Pharaoh says, why should I? And there are frogs everywhere and lice and flies and darkness and then death. And finally he says, get out of town, carry all the riches. God hardened his heart and said, I'm going to go get those slaves. He starts after them. They're pinned up against the Red Sea. Moses stands and says, don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of Jehovah. And the wind started blowing and it blew all night long, folks. Not like the movie you and I saw as kids. It blew all night long. Blew a dry path in that sea, water on both sides, a cloud over the top. And they came out of judgment into that baptism of Moses and out on the other side in freedom. And it was there they sang the song of Moses. So when it says they sing the song of Moses and the Lamb, what do you think that song about? They have overcome. They've been victorious over the beast. They've been victorious over the beast. Now, is that just people in heaven? Is that just people in heaven? One more time. Is that just people in heaven?
No.
These people, for we, His children, God's children, have overcome Him. We have been victorious over the beast. We've been victorious over the dragon. We've been victorious over Babylon. We've been victorious over Badzilla and Ding Dong. We've been victorious over all of those. Or these folks have been victorious over all of them because of the blood of Jesus and the gospel, the eternal gospel. And so no wonder they sing the song of Moses. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you. For your righteous acts have been revealed. So what do you do when you live in a world that's full of chaos? What do you do when you live in a world when the fellow that rules the world burns Christians at the stake? Dips them in tar and uses them to light his parties. What do you do when the Lord of their world took your brothers and sisters and would put them in an arena and people would cheer while they watched wild animals eat them? What do you do in that kind of world? And we whine about $4 gas? What do you do? Fear God and give Him glory. That's what they're doing here. There's the first billboard, y'all. There's the first billboard. You fear God and you give Him the glory. Now, keep reading. We've got to read the rest of this and then we get to the seven bowls. After this, I looked, and in heaven, the temple, that is, the tabernacle of the testimony, was opened. Out of the temple came the seven angels with the seven plagues. They were dressed in clean, shining linen and wore golden sashes around their chest. Then one of the four living creatures gave to one of the seven angels seven golden bowls filled with the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power. And no one could enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. And in chapter 16, 17, 18, you're going to read about those plagues. Rush through this with me. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath. The first angel went and poured out his bowl on the land, and ugly and painful sores broke out on the people who had the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. Oh, is that me? You got to worry about the mark of the beast, y'all? Why? We don't worship the beast. Finally, because he's already gone anyway, okay? Now, is there a principle that we need to pay attention to? Is there a principle we need to learn here? Yeah, we fear God and we give Him the glory. And that takes care of any beast, anytime, anywhere. Back then or now. The second angel poured out his bowl on the sea and it turned into blood like that of a dead man. And every living thing in the sea died. Now folks, are these the things that are going to happen? Now, listen. We've learned this already. Are these the things that are going to happen soon for them? Or are these pictures of what God is working in their world? Please say it. They're pictures. When you see the picture, what do you ask? What does that mean? Have you ever seen painful sores break out all over people? Have you ever seen water turn to blood? Yeah, He took care of Egypt. He took care of Egypt, the folks that had abused and horribly abused the Israelites. He took care of them. He'll take care of this beast too. Keep reading. The third angel poured out bowl on the rivers and the springs, and they became blood. And we've got to read verse 5. And then one of the angels in charge of the water say, "You are just in these judgments, you who were and who are and who were the Holy One, because you have so judged. For they have shed the blood of your saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink as they deserve." And I heard the altar respond, "Yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments." The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was given the power to scorch people with fire. They were seared by the intense heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over these plagues, but they refused to repent and glorify Him. Now stop a second. That is not global warming. I found global warming in the Bible. No, you didn't. That's a sign about what God is doing in their world, and it's about to come to pass. And what's the point? Even heaven and earth are going to turn against the beast and those that worship the beast. And there's nothing but trouble coming for them. This is the judgment of God, the bowl of wrath of God against those who have the mark of the beast. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast. Ooh, who's going to get it? Who's going to get it? The beast himself, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. Why? Why was his kingdom plunged into darkness? Sounds like Egypt again, because the beast? He ain't God. When God takes him on, God's going to win every time, all right? Men gnawed their tongues in agony and cursed to God. Now, folks, does this make sense to you? I mean, serious. This kind of stuff is happening in your world and you don't repent? This kind of stuff starts happening to you and to your government and you don't repent? You start cursing God? They refuse to repent. Now, folks, what happens when somebody refuses to repent? When you read that phrase in Scripture, what do you know is coming? Another bowl of wrath. There's another, and it is going to be complete. He is going to finish you off. Folks, you've seen the same thing in our world. People that will not learn, people that will not repent of doing evil and harmful, shameful, tacky, bad, nasty things, what's going to happen to them ultimately? God will get them. God will get them. And the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. The kings from the east. I know who that is. Kings from the east. Who is that? That's China. China's going to enter into the... These pictures were soon to come to place for them. Guess what was happening in the east back then? It wasn't the Chinese. All right? You just got to read this. This is good stuff, y'all. Would you love to see Spielberg get a handle on this? He couldn't touch what God writes. But man, it'd be fun to see. And I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They were spirits of demons performing miraculous signs, and they go out to the kings of the whole earth and gather them for the battle on the great day of God Almighty. You want to guess what day that is? "Behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him, so that they may not go naked and be shamefully exposed." Then they gathered the kings together to the place in Hebrew that is called Armageddon. Oh, it's Armageddon. I got the mark of this. Is it on me? Is it on me? This is a wonderful... I wish we had time to study all this. Folks, do you know what Armageddon is? And if anybody from Ladies Bible Class laughs, they're going to see a little plague of locusts on them. Or a plague of boils, maybe.
Mediterranean Sea, Sea of Galilee, Jordan River, Dead Sea. Over here is Red Sea. Up here is Tigris and Euphrates. This is Babylon. This is Israel. The Jordan River, this is where Jesus was baptized. This is the Sea of Galilee, where he walked on water. This is Mediterranean, where Paul did his missionary journeys. This is Egypt. Here's the Nile River. This is all drawn to scale, by the way. This is Egypt, Nile River, and he is... when they come out of Egypt, remember, they cross the Red Sea. Here's Mount Sinai down here where they get the Ten Commandments. Remember the story? Okay. In Israel, in this land that God promised them, it was built to protect them, y'all. God built, put them in a place where they could be protected. Not only were they protected by this water, but there's a mountain range that runs right there. There's another mountain range that comes out like this. So the only way you could get to Israel to fight them was to come this way. You couldn't come this way. It's too hot. And you couldn't come this way. Unless you had water pouring out of rocks and bread falling out of heaven, you couldn't make it. The only way you could be attacked was from the north. And in this valley, and you don't see geography, but if you... topography? There's a valley right here. It's the Valley of Megiddo. It's the valley where most of the battles in Israel that were fought take place. And guess who won 99.99999% of the battles? Israel did. The one time they didn't was because they disobeyed God, and God had to teach them. What he's telling us, if we understood our Old Testament stuff, he said, folks, all the kings of the earth, even if all the kings of the earth march against you, even if all the kings of the earth press against you to fight you, to take advantage of you, that battle is going to take place there. So what do I know is going to take place in that valley? We are going to win. We're going to overcome again. Now this is going to take place for them, right? Okay. Now we have... people have decided it's time for class to be over. So, here's what we're going to do. We'll stop right there, but tell me the blessing. I wanted you to see the woman. We'll get to the woman next time. We'll get to the great prostitute that is the abominations of the earth. All right, give me the blessing. Give me the blessing. I'm sorry? I can't hear you. The beast ain't God. All right, you got to give me a new one though.
Fear God.
I think of the four billboards that God put for the rest of this book. The first one says it all, right? Because if I get that one right, does it matter what happens on any of the others?
No.
So let's let be the blessing. That's the blessing of this of these chapters. Fear God and give Him glory. Fear God and give Him glory. What's He going to do with our enemies? He's going to crush them. He's going to pour out His bowl of wrath. And the wrath of God's anger will not stop until... do you remember what it said? Until it was completed. And if the beast... well, read it. If the... and I hope you... did you notice... go back to the frogs deal. I turned the page. You remember who the... I saw three spirits. See? They came out of the mouth of the dragon. Have you seen him? And he has been overcome. And the mouth of the beast, that's Badzilla. He's been overcome. And now it came out of the mouth of the false prophet. And we've not been introduced to the false prophet in that with that phrase. But who is the false prophet? That's Ding Dong. It's the dragon dressed up in sheep's clothing, right? It's a false prophet. It deceives people. They've all been defeated. But they gather all the kings of the earth to make war against God's people. God says, why don't we put that at our home court advantage? And He puts them right in the Valley of Megiddo. What do you know is going to happen when the battle shows up here? God is going to win. So what do you think would be a good idea for me? Fear God and give Him glory. Fear God and give Him glory. You agree? I agree. All right, let's pray. Father, thanks for tonight, for these folks, their attention. I love their joy. I love their hearts to be here after they worked all day, fought kids all day, did whatever they did all day. They still came. Thank you for the people that provided the food for us. Thank you for, more than anything, God, though, we thank you for Jesus, that He is the conqueror. We thank you for the promise of this book. We thank you for the blessings. And God, we know we're not seeing even a part of what you wanted us to see. But thank you for what you've given us the wisdom to see. In our hearts, God, we want to fear you and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, y'all. Leave me alone.